Well, Merry Christmas. I'm sure you've been told that already this morning. As I walked into church, everyone was saying Merry Christmas to one another. And what a great day to bring forth God's Word. A few weeks back, Don and I were talking about preaching around Christmas time, and he was deferring to me, suggesting that I preach last week because having young kids at home, he thought, well, Christmas morning will be a busy time. And I appreciated that, but I love Christmas so much. I knew what the topic for today would be, and that is the phrase that Josh read a little bit earlier. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And so I said, I'm totally happy to preach on Christmas Day because I'm excited to share that from God's Word. Plus, I knew this year would be different than 6 years ago. 6 years ago was the last time we had Christmas on a Sunday, 2016. And my kids were all younger then, of course. And Ashley and I had this great idea that, you know, they're young enough that they won't really understand calendars and all this. We'll just do Christmas on Monday. And so we told them leading up, you know, I know everyone's going to say Merry Christmas on Sunday, but we're going to do Christmas and presents on Monday. And I have since learned from my 17-year-old that that was the worst day of his life when he had to wait till the next day for presents. So this year, we got smarter, and we've already done our presents, and so now they can listen to their dad talk. So last year, and again this year, we made some books available on the back table. And this was one of them. You can't see the title, but it's called The Dawn of Redeeming Grace. And it is by Sinclair Ferguson. And I remember reading that title and being struck by the beauty of that phrase, the dawn of redeeming grace, the beginning of God's grace coming. Of course, that's a line from Silent Night, the verse that says, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. I love Christmas, and I love music, and so I love Christmas music. Actually, if you have Apple Music, they just did a thing this year where you can see your Apple Replay. How many of you have looked at your Apple Replay? Not many of us. Oh. You didn't know that was a thing. All right, well, my daughter knows about it. And so you can look at all the... Am I okay here, Mark? Am I adjusted right? I feel really loud. Okay. You can see all the songs you played through the year. And our family, our top artist was Sovereign Grace. We topped out at 196,000 minutes. So if you know the song, how many minutes are in a year? It's like 500,000 some. That's like a third of our year was listening to Sovereign Grace, and our top song was He Who Is Mighty with almost 5,000 listens this year. And so we love Christmas music in our house. And many of the carols we sing at Christmas time, I think, have some of the richest, most meaningful lines of songs that we sing. Not all of the carols do. There's a lot of sheep and mangers and stalls and stars and things that have very little to do with the Christmas story that the carols have somehow made popular, but there is also a whole lot of beautiful, meaningful lines that help us, I think, take a step closer, a step deeper into appreciating Christ's advent and his incarnation. That's why the last 4 weeks we've taken some time and focused on one of those phrases each week. And I just want to say a thank you to Gordon White. He wrote all those readings that were read by the dads and their child over the past couple weeks. He took time to tailor those into the song we were singing and give us a reading that helped make those lines more meaningful to us. So thank you to him for doing that. And we chose to do this at Christmas because, although Christmas, it happens every year, it can sometimes become repetitive and maybe limited in what the Christmas story talks about. We felt our time together as a church, rehearsing the same truths together at the same time, reminding ourselves of that dawn of redeeming grace at Christmas and seeing how that will inform our lives, that will make us more unified as a body. And so we took time to do that. There was a number of phrases that didn't make the cut. Just want to share a few of those so you are tracking with me in some of these beautiful lines from Christmas. Do I have it here, Barb? Maybe you can do the slide. There we go. All right, so this is a song we sang this morning, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. To me has this great line, from our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. A song we sang the other night at Candlelight Carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem, says this, O little town of Bethlehem, the hopes, you can just track along with these, yep, thank you. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Silent night, the phrase we said just a moment ago, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Another song that's sung not a lot anymore, but I think has a very powerful line. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It says, then ring the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. It's a great line. And then the next four are the four that we've done over the past 4 weeks. O come, Emmanuel. The first week we focused on the judgment. We no longer fear. Thy precious blood has brought us near. The second week, the song we just finished singing, He who is mighty shattered the darkness and lifted our shame. Holy is his name. And then two of the more familiar classic Christmas carols. Hark the herald angels sing last week, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity. And then the one that we just sang this morning and read, joy to the world, he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And that phrase is going to serve as our theme for today's message. Joy to the world is a great song. It signals kingship. You know the song. We don't have the words up there for you right now, but it signals Jesus' kingship throughout the song. Joy to the world. Who has come? The Lord. This is the ruler has come. Let earth receive her king. Another sign of kingship. Joy to the world. The Savior reigns. Kings reign. He rules the world with truth and grace. And he has authority to make the nations prove his glory. The song says. So not only does this theme permeate the song of this kingship, but each verse starts by proclaiming that kingship and then telling us how to respond. Did you ever notice that? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Then it tells us what to do. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let men their songs employ. Repeat the sounding joy. It tells us all the things that we're supposed to do when we recognize his kingship. But it's verse 3 that gives us the reason why we can respond this way. Because it's not just Jesus' coming to earth that accomplishes something great. It's what he did when he came to earth. And verse 3, in a poetic way, tells us why Jesus came. It says this, no more let sin or sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And what a picture this gives of an earth filled with sin and sorrow and thorns, and then comes Christ. And wherever there is sorrow, wherever sin has extended its reach, wherever thorns have infested the ground to grow more thorns, he extends his blessing there. His blessing extends wherever the curse has reached, and we'll see from our passage today, it does much more than that. And so let's begin our time with prayer. God, we thank you for our gathering this morning. What a special day to gather together, to celebrate, like we said, not only your coming to earth, because it's not your coming to earth that accomplishes anything. It's your coming and what you did on earth. And so as we rehearse that this morning and recognize that, I pray that it informs our lives and how we live for your honor and glory. And this is in your son's name we pray. Amen. Well, would you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 is on page 942 in the Pew Bible. And we're going to use Romans 5 as our text today. And we're going to try to take our phrase that we've been saying, he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And we're going to use that phrase and overlay it on top of this passage. Specifically, verses 12 through 21 is where we're going to be today. Romans 5, 12 through 21. Because what we see in this song, what we see in that phrase has its meaning, its roots. It comes from Romans 5. And I think keeping that phrase in mind throughout will help us notice the organization here of Romans chapter 5. And so would you join me in standing? We will read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. This is a really packed passage with a lot happening here. There's probably a lot of directions that we could look at this morning. But on this Christmas morning, I want to make it simple. Want to make it simple in that we see the heartbeat of what this passage speaks to. And it's this beautiful picture of Christ's blessing extending wherever the curse has infested. And we're going to do our best to keep our focus there, even though there's probably a lot of tangents we could follow this morning. But we want to be most encouraged this Christmas morning. So we're going to take those phrases we've said and break them into three parts. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. And I want to use those three portions of that phrase for our outline this morning, but we're going to take the last part first, as far as the curse is found. This is where we're going to start because that's where the passage starts. We see this reality in the whole passage, but we see it really in depth in verses 12, 13, and 14. Look at the dark reality found here. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one to come. And as you scan this passage, and we could read the whole thing again, you see those words that are related to this idea of curse, what the curse is, time and time again. Sin and death, transgression, trespass, condemnation, disobedience. In fact, I tried to emphasize them when we read the passage, but those words in just those 10 verses that we read this morning, 27 times Paul uses those words in just 10 verses. Sin, death, transgression, trespass, condemnation. Last week, Don brought us to Genesis chapter 3, and he talked about the first gospel, the proto-evangelium. And this is the first promise of a Savior who, as we talked about last week, would crush Satan in the midst of the physical and the spiritual effects of the curse. We read about those curses in Genesis 3, the result of Adam and Eve's sin, the pain, the enmity, the thorns in the ground, like are in the song, the sweat, the labor, but most importantly, death. This is the curse, physical and spiritual death. And this is what Paul is highlighting here by using those phrases 27 times in such a short period. Death reigns. It says it a couple times in that passage. Death reigns. It says again, sin reigns. It says it both ways, that death reigns, sin reigns in death. And this wording is purposeful because it helps us understand this important reality. Look back at verse 12. It says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. These are related. Death reigns, and it reigns through sin. Death spread to all through sin. So death and sin reign over everyone. And we can use them interchangeably here because the one thing, and I want us to grasp this because we're going to circle back to it at the end. The one thing, sin, makes the other thing, death, sure. It makes it absolute, without a doubt. Because of sin, death can't not happen. Death will happen because of sin. So sin makes the death sure. And this is what Paul is doing his best to convince us of. This is how far the curse is found. Do we understand that? It reaches everyone. And the curse is death because it comes through sin. Death, particularly spiritual death, reaches everyone because, as verse 12 says, all have sinned. And we even touched on last week, beyond that, what verse 12 talks about. We may have even gone to this passage, I don't recall, but Don used the term about Adam, federal head. This idea that this sin comes because of Adam. We inherit our sin nature simply by being born. But as we see in this passage, beyond that, we sin ourselves. So there's no escaping. And that's the clear picture that we see at the outset of this passage, that everyone has sinned, so you can be sure everyone will die. Sin makes death a sure thing. And so after this first point, taking the last part of our phrase first, as far as the curse is found, we're left with this thought that death reigns. It reigns over everyone. It reigns everywhere. And at this point, you're asking the question, why did I come to church today? I mean, I came hoping to hear about gleaming lights and no crying babies and mangers and cattle lowing and streaming beams from heaven, because that would make us feel good. But this, sin and sure death, does not make us feel good. But, continue on in the passage, look at verse 15. But, this is the next part of our phrase, he comes. He comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. But, verse 15, the free gift is not like the trespass. And now we say, oh, there's a free gift. Well, maybe this is good news on Christmas. Let's read those next verses, verse 15. And as we read them, we're going to read verse 15, 16, and 17. I want you to take note of that phrase, free gift and grace. And these two verses, free gift and grace, are really one and the same. They come from the same root, charis or charisma. I forget where we were at, some store the other day, and the lady behind the checkout register, her name was Charisma. And Ashley, I think, commented, what a beautiful name. And she said, yeah, thank you. My mother gave it to me. And I said, do you know what your name means? And she says, I do. I said, well, it's interesting because I'm preaching on Sunday, and this word charisma is all through this passage. And she said, we talked a little bit about it, and I said, because charisma means free gift. And she says, I know. And we talked about it a little bit. So charisma is the word free gift. Charis is grace. It's used all throughout this passage. Notice them here in verse 15, 16, and 17. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Well, now we read that and we say, okay, there's a shift in this story. Because so far we've had sin and death reigning. And now in just these three short verses, free gift and grace just permeate them. Eight different times he uses free gift and grace. So in the midst of death reigning, he comes. And we have this picture of this free gift inserted into the story. There's a song that was popular for a time. We don't sing it anymore, but it started by saying this, "Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness." And that's exactly what is happening here. In the midst of death reigning, he comes. And there's a free gift involved in the midst of this death reigning. Last night, for our family time around the Christmas tree, we read a story. It was called A Cosmic Christmas, and it's a fictional story. And in this fictional story, Satan is invited by God to hear of his plan to save the world. And in the story, at one point, Satan is walking around the throne room of heaven and he's flaunting his power. He's talking about how sin and death reign. He talks about how every human you have created, God, even the best of them, Abraham and Moses and Adam, they've all sinned. I've won. This idea of sin's curse, it's far, it's reached everyone everywhere, and Satan is boasting that fact that no matter what man comes to earth, no one can ever say no to sin. Everyone will fall to the power and curse of sin. And then God reveals his plan and he calls Satan over and he has Satan read one word. And Satan reads Emmanuel. And Satan steps back and he inquisitively kind of mutters to himself, "God with us? God with us?" And then he says, no, not even you would do that. Not even you should do that. He says, "You don't know what sin has made the earth. You don't know how ugly it is where death is reigning. You don't want to go there." And although it's a fictional story, that's the tension we're supposed to feel from this passage. Death is reigning. Sin has reached everyone, everywhere, and inserted into this story, into this passage, God himself comes. There's a free gift that shifts the whole story. And it's, we use words like this, but we don't maybe properly ponder it enough. It's unimaginable. And the fictional story made it even unimaginable to Satan that God would do such a thing, that he himself would come. And just like light stands in contrast to darkness, we read in verse 15 that the free gift stands in contrast to the trespass. It says the free gift is not like the trespass. So in some way, these two things are just drastically different. And Paul goes on to explain a couple different ways in which the gift and the trespass are different, how they contrast each other. We're going to take time to look at just one of them here. Look at verse 15 with me. "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." So here's what the trespass is like. According to this verse, we have one trespass, and what does that one trespass equal? It equals death for all. That's what we read here in these verses. One trespass equals death for all. And here is the likeness that we need to understand about sin, that one sin has brought death to all. And in this passage, you can look at it a few different ways. That specifically is referring to Adam's sin, how through that one sin, death spread to all men. But the passage also puts it into our perspective because it says all have sinned. So no matter whose sin it is, it's clear that one sin has brought death for all. And so that's one side of the equation. And what we're needing to find out here is how is that different than the free gift side of the equation? Because we find that one trespass, one sin brings death for all. Now I want you to be scanning verses 15 and 16 as we kind of draw this truth out. So we have the trespass side, one sin, one trespass equals death for all. And we're going to have to look at this side over here and see how the free gift side is different. Because Paul is showing us they are not the same, even though we would expect them to be like an equation. If this is this, then this should be this over here. It should follow the same pattern. But look at verse 16. Paul is really repeating his argument here and makes it a bit clearer. He says, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. And what was the result of that one man's sin? Well, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. We see in verse 15, it's condemnation for all. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. And there's a connecting idea here that makes these two sides, I know I'm talking like math on Christmas Day, like the two sides of the equation here, they have to be equal. There's a connecting word. Look at the verse again. Look at verse 16. We have the free gift is not like that one man's sin for the judgment following one trespass. Okay, so there's our connecting word. One trespass, that's this side of the equation over here. Then look a little further down in the verse, we have many trespasses. Do you see that? Free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So we have one trespass, and I knew as I prepared this week, I'm like, I'm going to be talking like math on Sunday morning on Christmas, but follow with me because this is the point of what he is saying. We have one trespass, and judgment for all follows that one trespass. So one trespass equals death for all, judgment for all. So then we go to this side of the equation and we have many trespasses. Well, if one trespass equals death for all, many trespasses equals, I mean, do you get how these two ought to follow? They should be equal. If one is death for all, many trespasses is like death for more than all. Like it has to be something even greater. And that's why it's so surprising what he is saying and how they're not alike. Because he says one sin brings death for all, so many sins brings a free gift. Do you see the verse? Look at what it says. It says that the free gift follows many trespasses. That's the connection there. So we have one sin brings death for all, many sins, and I just want to pause so we understand how there's many sins. I've committed many sins. You've committed many of sins. Put all those sins together for all humanity. We have many sins. So it's not just one sin. It's not just Adam's sin anymore that brings death to all. We have many sins that should somehow just exponentially bring a greater type of judgment, if there can be such a thing. But instead we read that following the many sins is a free gift. And we say, that's not even the same thing. One brings death, many brings a free gift. And that's why Paul says, exactly, that's because the gift is not like the trespass. They're completely different. This is why the gospel is the best news, because when the realization hits you that one sin brings death for all, you are expecting an even greater judgment for your many sins, and instead, you get a free gift. It's so unexpected. It's so categorically different. The free gift is not like the trespass. This is so good news. Christ's coming is unexpected on so many levels. Not only does a holy God come to a sin-filled earth, but he stays there until the people on earth, the people he created, the people he came for, take his life. And as soon as we say that phrase, take his life, we say, did they? Because what does Jesus say in John chapter 10? He says, nobody takes my life. I lay it down willingly. And then we say, oh, laid it down willingly? What does that sound like? A free gift. Because it's not at all like what our many trespasses have earned. And this is the gospel, that sin brings death and death reigns. It reigns over you, over me. It has reached everyone, everywhere, because all have sinned. But he comes, Jesus Christ comes, and he gives his life away willingly as a free gift that inserts itself into the story and brings about something completely unexpected. And that's the last part of our phrase. He comes to make his blessings flow. So we have this curse that we've said extends from everyone or to everyone, everywhere. Death reigns. But now we have the shift in our story. Jesus comes, and when he comes, he gives his life as a free gift, and there's a result. He makes his blessings flow. And to see this in the passage, I just really want to focus on one thing, one aspect that speaks to his blessings flowing as far as the curse is found. And that phrase, it was talked about when Josh read a little while ago, this idea that wherever sin has reached, and that's everyone, everywhere, Christ's free gift reaches, there's nothing we can do that is beyond the reach of God's grace. And that is a beautiful picture. But that picture in the song is limited. It's limiting because we get the idea that the two can match each other. Sin goes here, God's grace can go there. Sin goes there, God's grace can reach that far. And so that's good and that's a nice picture, but that's not the whole biblical picture. Just follow me with this idea that we already presented a moment ago of grace and free gift. We said earlier it's the same root word. And what I want to notice in the rest of our passage here is this idea of grace and free gift. I want us to notice the words that quantify them, that show how much grace there is, how far that free gift reaches. Look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace abounded for many. So in verse 15, we have much more has the grace. And then it closes by saying, and the free gift by that grace abounded. So those are quantifying words, much more and abounded. Look at verse 17. If because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace. So there it is again, much more abundance of grace. Look at verse 20. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, it doesn't say grace equally increased, does it? What does it say? Where sin increased, grace abounded, and then how much did it abound? All the more. So this is the picture that Paul is presenting of grace. There's much more grace, grace abounding, the abundance of grace abounding all the more. And this is the final picture that I want us to see from this passage, because I feel Paul has gone to great lengths in this passage to have us understand and be sure of two things. The first thing we said earlier, he wants us to be sure that we know that sin brings death. Death reigns. Because of sin, there is death. And I mean, you don't even have to be a Christian or familiar with your Bible, because the phrase is, it's just commonly believed that the most common thing in all the world is what? Death and taxes. That's our phrase. That's what we say. So it's a commonly held thing that sin is bringing death. Now, people don't all believe that it's because of sin that death is going to come, but that's the reality. So we can be sure of it. Because of sin, death will come. And Paul says it multiple different ways in this passage. He wants us to be sure that we know sin brings death. But then there is a second thing. There is a second thing he wants us to be so sure of, and it's what we just read, that grace abounds. And he ties these two things that we're supposed to be so sure of together in our final verse, verse 21. He says, so that is the point of it all. It's the point of our understanding. So that sin reigned through death. So that's the first thing that we're supposed to be so sure of. Sin reigns through death, but grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now, to go back to the analogy of an equation, we have two equals. Sin is leading to death, and grace is leading to eternal life. And according to this verse, notice the language he uses, both are reigning. Do you see that? Both reign. Sin and death are reigning, and so is grace reigning. So the final question is, well, which one's reign wins? Like, which one is going to win the battle? Sin has reached everywhere, we've already noted. That curse is found far. But all through this passage, Paul is answering the question of which one is winning. If you look back at verse 15, he says, much more the grace of God. Verse 17, much more the abundance of grace. That word, much more, means far superior in power. That's what that word means, far superior in power. So here's the picture. We had one thing up to this point that we were supposed to be so sure of, that sin brings death. Be so sure of that. But he comes. He comes, and his life is a free gift. So now there's a second thing to be sure of, and that is this, that the free gift, grace, abounds much more. And this is the picture that we're left with. When you put these two things side by side, because now there's two things that we're supposed to be sure of. When you put sin brings death right next to grace abounds all the more, God's grace is so much more sure than sin leading to death that when we see them side by side, the thing that we were most sure of, more than anything in the world, that sin leads to death, now when this new surety is brought into the picture that grace abounds, we are so much more sure than this that it takes the one thing we were so sure of and it completely reverses it. It makes it as if it is now impossible. Because when grace comes into the picture and you receive that free gift, this first thing is now impossible. You won't die. You will live eternally, it says in verse 21. This is incredible that the thing he takes 9 verses to spell out, 27 times he tells us how sin and death are reigning. We're so sure of it. When grace comes into the picture, it completely reverses the idea of the thing we were supposed to be so sure of. Now we're sure that that can't happen. Can there be anything so abundant, so much more superior in power? Yes. Paul says that's why the free gift, it's so different. It's not like the trespass. There, as we've noted, there's many great Christmas carols that we sing. But you know, if you've been part of Lakes, we've chosen to sing a number of different songs every Christmas. We sang some of them today. Because we've been gifted with a new generation of songwriters that have given us great Christmas songs. And as I thought about this passage this week, how much this related to that phrase we sang today, that he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. As I thought about this idea at the end, that the thing we're so sure of, sin leading to death, is completely reversed, not canceled, okay? It's not canceled. It's redeemed. It's made new. It's reversed by grace. There's a greater song that we sing that, I mean, shame on us for not making this the best phrase that we read from this year. And it's the song, Who Would Have Dreamed? You know it if you attend Lakes. And at the end of verse 2, it says this: He will carry our curse, and death he'll reverse, so we can be daughters and sons. And this is Romans 5. He takes the most sure thing, the curse of death, and he doesn't just cancel it, he reverses it. He reverses it and replaces death with life. And he replaces sin with blessing. He reverses our curse. And God is in the business of redeeming, of making all things new. But there's one last thing that I want us to see from this passage, because this is such good news. But there's an all-important word that Paul uses about that free gift, about that abundance of grace. It's found in verse 17. It says, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Receive. And when we ask the question, when he said, the free gift is not like the trespass, this is another way that we didn't get to of how the free gift is not like the trespass. Because, hey, to be under the trespass, to get the curse, you be born. That's all you have to do. You don't do anything for it. You didn't have a choice in being born. Sin nature was upon you, and you sinned. But the gift is not like the trespass. It is received. It's different. It doesn't naturally happen. It supernaturally happens. God turns our hearts toward him to receive him. And I know we have people that maybe don't normally come to church, come to Lakes. We have people that come here all the time. I pray that two things happen this morning, that we, first of all, understand the amazing picture that is given here in Romans 5 of the gospel, that sin and death were so sure, but grace abounds much more, and it reverses that curse. And I pray that if you haven't received that, that he's turning your heart this morning, that you recognize we all had the same fate, sin and death, but Christ has reversed our curse, abounded grace, and given us a free gift of righteousness to all who will receive it. And that's Romans 5. That's he comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. Let's pray. God, we want to recognize that Christmas is such a wonderful time, has so many beautiful pictures and pictures that bring back memories of childhood and the manger scene. But this is what Christmas is all about. You coming as a free gift to reverse our curse, this curse that was so sure. Because of sin, we will die. And you reverse it and offer a free gift and eternal life in its place. We praise you for this. We lift our voices in praise because of this. We want this to be our story. We want this to be our song. We thank you for the free gift. We thank you for giving us still a holiday in 2022 that we can, as a church body, unify around this theme. And this is in your son's name we pray. Amen.